Amy, let's focus on a recent Legal Intelligencer article. It cited businesses that cultivate Facebook likes to broaden their marketing reach and effectiveness. Legal? Not legal. It's a very gray area.
It's a gray area, and it's a fascinating area. This particular case involved a woman who started an unofficial fan page for her favorite television show. Later, she entered into a business relationship with the network that aired this TV show, BET, and eventually gave them access to the back end of the page. So they could log in, they could post, they skyrocketed the number of likes her page had. Eventually, their business relationship went sour, and BET locked her out of her own account. The judge ruled that the Facebook likes are not part of the physical assets of the company, that they simply indicate a momentary desire on the part of another Facebook user who could very instantly unlike your page just as easily.
Now, of course, social media sites provide terms and conditions governing the creation and usage of their accounts. Facebook's terms, for instance, provide that an individual creating a user profile does own the content that he or she posts, but that may or may not be at variance with established law on the matter.
There are differences between whether it's a personal page for your personal use or a business asset page that you're creating. Facebook's terms of service are very specific in saying you own your content unless you give us specific permission to use it, which is very easy to do without realizing you're doing it. Hey, Dave. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wah.
Wahoo.
Wahoo!
Wahoo.
I'm not just doing this for the laughs. There's another angle of the idea of who owns social media content that is less about the actual content itself and more about the idea and the style of the content. So, for instance, I told you a knock-knock joke, but I told you a specific joke, right? Who came up with the idea of a knock-knock joke and who owns a copyright on that style of joke? This was another legal case that involved the Fine Brothers, who were a very popular team of comedians on the internet. They do videos that are sort of grandmoms react to videos of them dancing when they were kids. And so they have made their stock in trade this sort of shtick, you know, so show someone something shocking, watch them react to it, record it. They tried to copyright the idea of a reaction video. So if I wanted to show my grandmother Beyonce's new video and then videotape her reacting to it, they would have wanted their users to license that idea from them. So the court did not make a ruling on that because the Fine Brothers lost 300,000 subscribers to their YouTube channel and withdrew their petitions for trademark. So they changed their mind after creating bad karma on the internet with their subscribers.
So in this case, it was the market that spoke rather than the court.
Correct. And what it told them was something very powerful about the idea of viral content on the internet. You can now search an image on the internet back to its original source and find out who was the first person to transpose Michael Jordan's crying face over top of an athlete that just lost something, which is a major meme on the internet right now. Who was the first person who did that? Do I owe them money now if I decided to make one on my own? If I use a meme generator app and I put my own words on it, who owns that? Did I create something new or not?
But ultimately, this will be decided more succinctly in the court of law. And in the meantime, are there caveats for consumers?
The caveats with the consumer are if you are doing something independently and then you're going to turn it into a business, be aware that the law changes then. Once you start trying to monetize your internet experience, be very careful.
I have an elephant joke for you, but I have to make sure it's legal before I test it out.
Okay.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
WHYY social media strategist Amy Quinn on Newsworks Tonight.